Thankful for Bradley leading that song, one of my favorites, but also one of the hard ones for me to sing because of all of it says and means. Thanks for being here tonight, even though it was announced that I was going to be speaking. Brave souls you are. And thanks for the elders for giving me an opportunity. When Bill came, he said, Jim, you can have the morning or the evening. And I thought, well, you know, there are a lot better speakers that should speak in the morning to the larger crowd. And because there's a smaller crowd in the evening, fewer witnesses. So I think I'll take the evening. And I didn't realize how much Jim and I have in common besides names. Who would have thought? For the last few weeks, I've been studying Aristotle's ethics. And I had to change my whole sermon because of that. Never would have imagined. But, and, you know, Jim, having the same name and Aristotle, and he's a professor and I'm not. I mean, but I'll leave it to Jim to expound on his book on ethics. I'm just trying to get through and understand what is the good. And tonight, hopefully, I'm going to talk a little bit about what is the good and about happiness, because that's what we all strive for. That's what Aristotle was talking about. maybe it's only me, which wouldn't be surprising, but whenever I get up in front of the group to speak, I always try to find something new to bring out. And, you know, somebody a lot smarter than me said that there's nothing new under the sun. Brent does a good job, and he expounds on everything, and Jim and several other men here. So I went to my second choice, and that we'll find out over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writing to Timothy, he said, Timothy was a young preacher. He left in Ephesus, and you can imagine Timothy was probably going through some struggles without Paul, his father in the faith, there with him. And so Paul writes him in the second letter and encouraging him in the first chapter. He says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God that's in you. He wrote Timothy to remind him to stir up that gift. And he goes on to say that God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Apparently Timothy might have been struggling with that, with the problems that he faced there in Ephesus, but he said he gave us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. That word sound mind, some translations say self-control, some say self-discipline, but it's the idea of being sober-minded. Similar idea over in Romans, the 12th chapter, when it says to not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but to think soberly. And the idea, once again, is having a sound mind. The idea is, if you think otherwise, it's insanity. You're out of your mind. So he's encouraging Timothy, as well as us, to have a sound mind, to be self-disciplined, to be under self-control, to be in control of your faculties. Sober-minded, sobriety, all of those things fit in that verse. And then again, over in 2 Peter, the first chapter, Peter, after giving a lengthy discourse here in a few verses about how to grow your faith, he says, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and perseverance, and godliness. And then he goes on and he says in verse 12, for this reason I will not neglect to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. So tonight I hope to remind myself, but also remind you of a few things that God has to say to us in this word that we read and we study regularly, I hope. In just following up there in 2 Peter, he says at verse 5, giving all diligence. And I mean, I highlighted that in my Bible, all diligence. Need to consider that. add to your faith virtue, and he goes on, and then he concludes in verse 10, and he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Sounds important. Sounds important. Give it all diligence. Even more diligence. And why? Because make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know, but that's what I want. An abundant entrance. I mean, really, I guess I'd be happy to squeak through the door, but it'd sure be nice to be confident of where you stand in the kingdom. So tonight I'm going to ask that question. I'm here to remind you and to ask you, how are you doing? Where are you at? How comfortable are you with where you're at in the kingdom of God? You know, I spent a whole class a couple of years ago studying Hebrews 10, where it says bear with me here, provoke one another to love and good works. And every time, that's the King James, and I can't, every time I read that or think about that, I'm reminded of Scott Stowe's father, Glenn, who commented in class one night when I was teaching that the problem is that we're spending too much time provoking one another. And so possibly a better answer to that is to consider one another, how to encourage one another to love and good works. And so that's a little bit about what we're going to be talking about tonight. I spent whatever classes are now 3 months, and I feel like I still haven't covered it all. So I have a question for us all to consider tonight, and that is, rock, are you a rock in the kingdom of God? Are you a rock? In my pocket, I have a rock, small, nondescript. It really doesn't look like much. Could have picked it up out here in the front of the building. There's a lot of rocks out there, a lot of rocks in my front yard. It could have been from my front yard. A friend, very dear friend, gave this to me when he visited the Areopagus, where Paul gave his speech. He picked this up off the Mars Hill. Now, if he wasn't who I know he was, I'd think, you just picked that up out of my yard when you walked in and said, here, have a rock. But the thing that's unique about that rock isn't that it came from Mars Hill. It isn't that I'm not a rock hound, so I don't know. It might be marble. And if it was polished up, it might be really an attractive rock. But as it is, it's a rock. But you know what's unique about it is that that rock does exactly what God created it to do. You can't get a better rock than that rock, because it accomplishes everything God created it to do. In fact, all of creation, except for us, accomplishes everything God created it for. But because we are self-aware, because we are self-determining, sometimes we veer from the path. Sometimes we miss the mark. Sometimes we make bad decisions. So tonight, I'm going to remind me, of what we should be doing, where we should be in our walk with Jesus, in our walk in our family here with one another. There in 2 Peter, where we were, I believe it's in the ninth verse, it says, just a reminder there, it says, he who lacks these things that we just went over, virtue and knowledge and so on, is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So we want an entrance into the kingdom abundantly. These things are important to us. And if these things aren't growing in you, Peter says it pretty plainly, we're short-sighted, even to blindness, and we've forgotten that we were cleansed from our old sins. Now, you know, we understand the idea of cleansing from our old sins. The water of baptism, we come in contact with the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, and then we are white as snow, our sins being remitted. And several years ago, we all remember, it was a popular saying to be born again. I'm a born-again Christian. You born-again Christian? They're born-again Christians. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again. What does it mean when we're born again? What is it that we're supposed to be seeing in there? And as Romans 12 says, seeing every day as we renew our mind, be living sacrifices, a daily effect, a daily effort of renewing our minds. In Ephesians 2 and 4, verses we're very familiar with, We are created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when it says we are created in Christ Jesus, does that suggest to you that we were born again? There's the new creature. We understand the idea of putting off the old man of sin, putting on Jesus, as Paul says. But what does that mean to be born again? This rock does what it was created for. What were we created for? Good works that he prepared beforehand that we should walk in. What did Jesus spend his life doing? Serving us, serving others, bringing others to the truth. And isn't that what we were created for? Isn't that how we were born again? To be new creatures created in Christ Jesus for good works. Sometimes people want to say, you know, God gave me a talent, and my talent is I write cards to people, to the sick. I write cards to the shut-ins. I write cards to the bereaved. That's fine. But I'm also reminded of the parable of the talents. The man who had one talent wasn't very pleasing to God. But the man who had five, was given five, had 10 at the end. And the guy who had 10 had 20. We see a period of growth there. We see the talents growing. We see the growth that Peter talks about in 2 Peter there 1. Add to this, to this, to this, to this, to this. So we don't really need to talk about what our talent is. We need to talk about where we're going with it and how we're going to increase it. How we're going to do better. How we're going to be that rock that accomplishes God's will in our life. Ephesians 4 and 12 talks about, once again, verses that we're very familiar with. I'm going to turn over there and read that one. Verse 1, he encourages us to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness. And then he goes on in verse 11, it's he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now when I read that, he gave us gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and the purpose was that you and I could be ministers. And that's not standing up here and talking to a group of people. That word means workers. It means under rower, literally. But it means a servant. It means someone who serves others, who is a laborer, who is a worker. And we're told that, once again, that we were created for that purpose. And the purpose of these people is to equip us for that purpose. And you wonder, well, wait a minute, that's just not my, I'm not good at that. Interestingly enough, Ephesians 4:10 says, we just read, for the equipping of the saints for ministry, for the edifying of the body. And how long are we supposed to do that? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Man, I'm not there. If you are, raise your hand, because I need lessons. I need you to help me get there. I'm not there. The perfect man, the stature of Christ. But this is how we get there. Add to your faith, virtue, self-control in that list. Perseverance in that list. And that word that we read over in 2 Timothy, when Paul said, I'm encouraging you to stir up that gift. So that's what I'm here tonight to do. Stir up that gift of God. Do you have a gift from God? We all do. We all do. Are you using those your abilities? Because we have no excuse. In 2 Timothy 3:16, what does it say? That all scripture is inspired of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to every good work. Boy, that kind of puts us on the hook, doesn't it? So I'm going to suggest to you tonight that what we're talking about is we're talking about self-control and learning to be servants every day, every day. Well, somebody, when I taught Hebrews 10 about encouraging one another to love and good works, somebody said, well, how do we do that? You know, or what are those good works? Jesus didn't leave. There's no list. I want a list. I want to check it off. Okay, I got that done, and I got that done. Another interesting part about being a servant is in Acts 14, Paul was on his missionary journey, and he went through Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, and at one point he was stoned, drug out of town, and left for dead. And when the disciples were gathered around him, he stood back up and he walked back into town, and he preached the gospel again. And on his way back through the cities, encouraging the saints back to Antioch, he said, through many struggles, we have to go through many struggles to enter the kingdom of God. So how comfortable are you with your service? Are you struggling? Because over there in Peter, when it says, give all diligence, I don't know about you, but that sounds a little bit like a struggle. And give even more diligence. How can I give more when I'm supposed to give all? That sounds like a struggle. Paul had just been stoned and left for dead and got up and went back in and preached. And he said, we've got to go through a lot of struggles to get into the kingdom of heaven. So when God says that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, is your faith being demonstrated every day in your works? Do your works prove your faith? Are you being the rock that God called us to be, to accomplish His will in all things in our life? And if we were created for good works, boy, that's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. Well, somebody said, once I was talking with somebody about that, and they said, well, you're talking about works. You're talking about salvation by works. But we were created in Christ Jesus. It's no longer I that lives, Christ lives in me. I don't deserve any credit for anything I do after that, because I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm being what God created me to be, not what... Believe me, I was out in the world, and I know what that's all about. I would have never been here, left to my own devices. But the same person who gave me this rock took it upon himself to teach me the gospel. So what we need is, the song says, more of Jesus and less of self. What we need is, one preacher called it grit, self-control. Determine, if it wasn't a struggle, would have Jesus have had to tell us not to grow weary in well-doing? Because it is a struggle. And it should be, as Romans suggests, Romans 12, a daily struggle. I was always a John Wayne fan, so true grit was always one of them. So the question is, do you have true grit? Are you willing to stand up and be different from the world? And isn't that how we're going to show Jesus in our life? So are you comfortable with your walk, where you're at? Or maybe, like me, we need to have more of that dogged determination to be servants, to serve not just one another, but our neighbor. The guy across the street, the widow down the street who needs her lawn mowed. You know, I'm retired, but not from this, not from God's work. There's no retirement plan in here. Well, you know, there is. He promised us a rest, but not in this life. So I don't have any excuse. Give all diligence. Give even more diligence. And all the excuses that we can make. Well, you know, I had a bad night. No, I don't feel good today. And I had to work. And I, you know, the kids are driving me crazy. And the wife's got her own list. And we serve one another in our families. But God calls us to more than that. He calls us to serve one another here. He calls us to serve our neighbor, whoever that might be, whoever we can serve. And so we are without an excuse. Even Jesus at the age of 12 said, I must be about my Father's business. If a verse was read earlier, I don't remember, I'm old. So, but it was about, as children of God, you know, be like, well, unfortunately, I'm like my mother. I see sometimes things that I do and I think, boy, that's just like my mother. But if we're going to be children of God, then we have to have the attributes of God, the characteristics of God. It needs to be in our DNA. So we need to be the rocks that God wants us to be. And we need to be renewing our minds daily in that effort. And we can do that. Every one of us here can do that. We can set a goal. You know, once a month, I'm gonna take it upon myself to decide on Thursday, the 15th, I'm gonna serve somebody. And I'm going to do that every month. I'm going to go be a servant. And maybe you will, and maybe you won't. Maybe you'll miss a day. But you know what? The goal isn't what's important. Because life, what God expects is a struggle. He expects us to struggle. It's the journey that makes a difference. You know, when I was baptized, it was a small congregation, about 30 people, and I didn't realize how desperate they were, because less than 2 months after I was baptized, they said, "Jim, we want you to teach the high school class." Every kid in there knew more than I did, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because when I finished, I knew more than I, a lot more than I, you know, it's the doing that you grow from. And when you find out that after you've started this mission of servanthood, of being the rock, of serving, of being the laborer, the workman, and you get it down to once a month, once a week, every day, looking for opportunities, you're going to find out, what does it say over in 2 Peter? "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You're going to grow, and along the way, you're going to encourage other people to grow, and who knows, your neighbor might be up for a Bible study, and you might bring somebody to Jesus. But more than anything, the most important thing, you're going to grow and be the rock that God wants you to be. I haven't said much about salvation other than what God expects us to be. So if there's anyone here who hasn't received baptism and the remission of sins, if there's anyone here that needs the prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do, I appreciate everybody's attention and being here. And if there's anything that we can do for anyone, please come forward as we stand and sing.